Stand with me, we'll read our text, Hosea chapter 7. You should have like a ribbon or something in Hosea at this point, right? It does disappear. Good thing I didn't say Nahum. We'd be looking for that half church time. Okay, verse 1, we're going to read all the way to verse 10. I'm going to try not to do a lot of explaining because the message will explain a lot as we go, but it's a lot. He uses a lot of analogies here that make it hard to understand, but we're going to study it. So let's take a look at verse 1. Hosea says this, "When I would have healed Israel," that's what God said, "I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered." That's kind of a sad thought, isn't it? "And the wickedness of Samaria, for they commit falsehood, and the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoileth without. And they consider not in their hearts," listen to this, "they consider not in their hearts that," God says, "I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about, they are before my face. They make the king glad with their wickedness, and the princes with their lies." It's kind of a sad state when the king is glad about wickedness. But it gets worse. Verse 4. "They are all adulterers, as an oven heated by the baker." So I want you to keep that analogy, that thought in mind, an oven heated, okay? Look what it says next. "Who ceaseth from rising after he hath kneaded the dough until it be leavened. In the day of our king, the princes have made him sick with bottles of wine." So we're talking about the king. "He stretched out his hand with scorners, for they have made ready their heart." So now we're talking about the subjects of the king. They've made ready their heart like an oven. There's our analogy again. "Whilst they lie in wait, their baker sleepeth all the night. In the morning it burneth as a flaming fire." So what are they going to do? Verse 7. "They are all hot as an oven, and have devoured their judges. All their kings are fallen. There is none among them that calleth unto me." That's a sad phrase, the last part of verse 7, God says. Ephraim, verse 8, "He hath mixed himself among the people." Ephraim is a cake not turned. "Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not." Note verse 10, kind of a summary of their attitude. "And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this." The title tonight is "The Slow Burn of Sin." Let me say that again. The slow burn of sin. We see that here. Let's pray. Father, I pray one more time your blessing on the message. We need you, and it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Now, when you think about the slow burn of sin, it should be somewhat obvious what we're referencing, that sin, it makes its way in, it creeps its way in, and then it starts having an effect in our life, but that effect may not be a devastating effect right away. On drugs, they might feel that those drugs are not really hurting them. If you're struggling with some kind of drug addiction tonight, and let's not assume that somebody here doesn't have a struggle with some sort of a, you know, substance addiction. That one thing that our heart begins to do is to tell us that it's not really hurting us. But it's a sin that's a slow-burning sin. And it works its way to bring us to ruin. Now, we're on that path, although our heart might tell us something different. Alcohol's that way, drugs can be that way. Let me say this. Lust, somebody who lusts after inappropriate images, thinks that perhaps those inappropriate images aren't going to hurt them. It's kind of a gracious way to say that, but I think you know what I'm talking about. Little ears in the room tonight. And you think, your heart tells you that it won't hurt you, and maybe even you get convicted about it when you look at those images, or you allow yourself to lust in sinful ways, that it won't really hurt you and it's not really that bad of a thing. And maybe your heart tells you it's just a natural thing. It's natural. It's just part of our biology, and it's just part of what we are as humans, and it's not going to hurt me. But in truth, it's a sin, and it's a slow-burning sin. What it's going to do is it's going to lead you in life to ruin. It will lead you there. No matter what your heart tells you, no matter how you feel about it, no matter, you know, how you justify it in your mind, it will lead you there. It will lead you there. That's what slow-burning sin is. There was a man in Missouri at the church that Melissa and I were members of. My mother-in-law currently is a member of. And this was years ago. In fact, you'll probably remember this particular individual, but was arrested for multiple instances of DUI. He was a lawyer. And because of his arrests and his DUIs on his record, he was disbarred, meaning he was not able to practice anymore in his law office. He lost his job, and he was disbarred. And so it was a devastating time for him. He had lost it all. And in that context of his life, really down at the bottom because of his alcoholism, which really, I'm not even sure it's a choice, right? So it's not like a disease like the world calls it. But anyway, he is down at the bottom, as low as you can go, had lost everything, binging himself to death, comes to church, begins to attend, and gets saved, changes his life. Changes his life. Not the same person. I mean, gets on a path that is right and holy and godly, and it's pretty miraculous what God did in him. It's just awesome. In fact, it was such a transformation that he began the process to reestablish his law degree or his license to practice law. And everything was on track to get things back in order until one day he decided, one drink won't hurt me. And so what happened, I think we can forecast. But that one drink didn't stay with one drink. So then after a small amount of time, that one drink took him back to a binge. And the binge was so intense and violent that his mother found his body in the basement. He had literally drank himself to death. And that illustrates for us, in a way, the slow burn of sin. Amen. Where people say, you know, it's not a big deal, but if it's sin, it is a big deal. Amen. Sin creeps its way into our life in various ways, doesn't it? Now, we don't always, the problem is we, because of our pride, and we're going to see that, we see it right in the text, we don't always want to acknowledge what we're doing as sin, even when God is trying to prick our hearts. Amen. You know, because our heart tells us it's not that big of a deal, but if God is pricking you, and he's trying to break through to you, to get your attention, he wants you to see that it is a sin, as small as we feel like it is. So sin has a way of creeping its way into our lives in various ways. Usually, sometimes it's an influence in our life, like a friend. We see that sometimes, or maybe most obvious with our children, when we allow them to be around other children who perhaps aren't very good influences. And so our children, the influence of the other children, sometimes, by the way, it's not always a bad influence. Sometimes there's good influences out there, right? And so, I mean, let's acknowledge that. But there are times when we allow our children to get around other children, and then there's influence there where our children then are exposed to things that are sin, and then our children allow those sins to creep into their life. So that's one way. And by the way, it's not just our kids, it's us too. Influences, family, friends, neighbors, coworkers. And we allow those conversations to change and affect the way that we think about things. And sin then, through influence, has a way of creeping its way into our life. And when it creeps its way into our life, it becomes a slow burn. Now, it's not that big of a deal. You know, it's not that big of a deal. But it's in our life, and it's just lingering there, just sort of creeping along with us. Growing in its hold of our heart, by the way. Like, think of, and this isn't in my notes, but think of what Paul said in Corinthians when he spoke about the Corinthians who had embraced false religion. When you embrace false religion, it becomes in your heart a stronghold. And so what you have to do is you have to break strongholds, and there's only one who can do that. And praise God, through Christ, we can break strongholds. But that's what slow-burning sin does. It doesn't just lead us to ruin. The more it's in our life, the more it has a hold of our heart. And it becomes a stronghold in our life. Amen. Yeah. So Israel here has embraced sin, and it has become a stronghold in them. And it is a slow-burning sin. But here's what God wanted to do. Look at verse 1. I would have healed Israel. That's a telling phrase. I mean, we see God's grace all through Hosea, as harsh as the judgment coming on Israel. As pointed and convicting as it ought to be in our life, when we allow those slow-burning God says, I would have healed Israel. But he goes on, then iniquity was consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. So in other words, they have allowed the everything that's going on in our heart. He knows where we really are. In fact, something that just a few people struggle with. Amen. We all have times in things in our life that pride won't let us see. And pride blinds us to slow-burning sin at times. But it doesn't blind God. How ironic is that? That God, who created us, I suppose it isn't ironic, but it feels ironic, that God, who created us, knows more about where we really are than we even know about ourselves. Amen. Amen. And so God is discovering sin that Israel is not even knowing about themselves. And they're not acknowledging it because they have allowed it, their pride, we see in verse 10, to blind them to where they are. Now I want you to see, we're going to start, now verse 1 and 2 really is a summary of all of this. But let's take a look at verse number 4. Well, let's just go through it. I don't want to skip anything. Look at verse 3. I won't linger on this because we could linger a long time, and I don't want to do that. Verse 3. They make the king glad with their wickedness. Now, there's a couple of things happening here. First of all, the king is the leader, and he's leading in Israel into this attitude of sin, right? Sinfulness, wickedness, as we see here. And he's glad about wickedness, and that is represented in his leadership. And so we see that in verse number 3. But verse number 4, it says they are all adulterers as an oven heated by the baker. And so now we have the analogy of the slow burn or the heat of an oven, which has to do with cooking bread, the dough that is being kneaded. And whenever this bread is being cooked, there's a slow cook that's happening. And that's what he's referencing, the wickedness. And the oven, the slow burn. Look what it says in verse 5. In the day of our king, the princes have made him sick with bottles of wine. So what we're seeing here is it's sort of like in Israel, we're seeing Hosea is giving a specific example of what's happening to the nation as a whole. And it's just in the kingdom, it's turmoil. It's disruption. The king is leading the people in wickedness. And then there's a transition that's happening in verse number 5, where now we're seeing the attitude of the people, and what they're doing is they're creating a kind of mutiny because they're going to kill the king. So you have the king who's leading them into wickedness, and he's glad about it. The slow burn of sin is being allowed. And then amongst all of that, you have his subjects who are putting together a plot to kill the king who's leading them in this way. And that's what we see in verse number 6. It says, and they have made ready their heart like an oven. So there's this slow burn that's taking place while they lie in wait. What are they going to do? They're going to destroy the king. They're going to kill him. In fact, the last phrase of verse 6, it says, in the morning it burneth as a flaming fire, speaking of the passion of their wickedness and the plot to destroy the king. It's risen itself, and they're going to come against him at the appointed time. Verse number 7, it goes on, they are all hot as an oven, speaking again of that sin that's just boiling in them, leading them to devour the judges, and the kings are fallen, it says. You know, that is the spirit of the nation. Really, that's an illustration. It's a metaphor to illustrate where the nation was. It's turmoil. It's destruction. It's from the king who's leading them into wickedness and the subjects who are plotting against the king. And the whole nation is in adultery, meaning another illustration, meaning that they've left, broken covenant with God. And so the nation has went away. And the illustration of the oven is to say it's a slow burn. Interestingly, the last part of verse number 7 says, there is none among them that calleth unto me. That to me is, you know, we could say par for the course, but that's a sad phrase. You know, to be in the condition that they are, but not even acknowledge that maybe God could, maybe there's an issue here and maybe God can fix this. I mean, their pride has blinded them so much that they can't even acknowledge that maybe they departed from God. And this slow burn is leading them to ruin. Illustrated in the turmoil in their nation. So the idea continues. Look what it says in verse 8. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. So when you take the dough and you put it on the oven or on the you know, on the tray, but you don't turn it, what happens to the bottom side of the dough? It burns. So Israel is a cake not turned, meaning there's a burn that's taking place, and they don't even realize that it's happening. What are you saying, Pastor? Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying there's a slow burn that's happening, leading them to destruction, and they don't even know that it's happening. It's a slow burn. And they're just living on like nothing is wrong. How do we know that's what he's saying? Look at verse 9. Strangers have devoured his strength. He knoweth not. He knoweth it not. Look what it says next. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him. We can maybe relate some to that, can't we, some of us? But the problem is he knoweth not. What's that mean? It means that just as an elderly man who doesn't even acknowledge that he or realize that he's elderly, his strength has declined and he's closer and closer to death but doesn't even realize it. I feel like this was me yesterday. I'm assistant coach. This is a story I was going to tell you. I'm just going to do it now. So I was at practice yesterday coaching up the boys, and I'm teaching them a play, and one of the kids was dribbling up the middle, and I'm an aggressive player, and plus I'm double aggressive for a lot of reasons. Okay, so these are young guys, and I kind of have the alpha feeling in me. So that's one thing. And then I'm trying to teach them to be aggressive. So I'm not gonna back down, right? So this kid comes in like a train. I mean, he just rolled in there, and he's bigger than me, okay? Not this way, but this way. So he's dribbling in, and I just stand my ground. And the next thing I know, he just ran right into my chest, and I flew backwards, landed on the ground, elbow on the concrete. I'll show that to you later. It's a scratch there. I mean, I got some wounds, you know? And I'm laying on the ground, and I'm thinking, you know, I might be a little bit too old for this. Of course, I didn't say that. I was thinking it, though. So Israel, the gray hairs, elderly, loss of strength, on the decline, headed towards death, but not seeing it. That's what he's saying. Now, why is this happening? Why is there a slow burn of sin? Wickedness that has made its way in. God sees it, as we saw earlier on. God sees it, but Israel themselves don't see it. Verse number 10. The pride of Israel testifieth to his face. They do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. Their pride didn't let them see that the slow burn of sin was leading them to destruction. Now, let's talk about us for a few minutes and we'll be done. I couldn't help but remember I don't know if it's true and I've never tested it out, okay? But I heard a story about if you had a pot of boiling water, okay? And you took a frog and you threw it in that pot of boiling water, it would jump straight out. Amen. Have you heard this before? But if you take said frog, and you take that frog and place it in tepid water, and then you turn the fire on and gradually heat up that water, that frog will, this is what I hear, again, I haven't tested it out. Maybe we should, I don't know. Anyway, but you leave that frog in that water, that tepid water, and then it slowly bring it to a boil. The frog will stay in the water until it boils to death. That's how we are. Now, there might be something that in our life we would say, that sin, I'll never do that. You say that. You say it, you mean it. Remember Peter whenever he said, I'll die before I deny you. He said that. Remember he said that? Jesus said, you're going to deny me. Jesus said, or Peter said, I'll die before I deny you. You know, when he said that, I really think he meant it. How do you know? Because whenever those soldiers came to take Jesus, what did Peter do? It's time to die. Took his sword out, cut off Malchus' ear. Why? Because he was ready to die for Jesus. Okay, he meant it. But then a few short hours later, he denied Jesus. So what you and I in life, we say, you know what, I'll never do that. I'll never jump into this. If I ever get associated to this, you know, I'll be like that frog. I'll just jump right out. And that's true in your commitment. But here's what happens in our life. Is sin has a way of creeping into our life. Amen. So that it comes in just a little bit. You see? And that fire is a slow burn. So it doesn't even bother us. It doesn't mean it's not sin. It just doesn't bother us. And so we just let it be there. And there's a slow burn. And what we don't realize is a slow burning sin will lead us to ruin. And so what we would say we would never do, we would do. Eventually. Like, I'll never do that, pastor. You know, there's a lot of pastors that went off into adultery. There's a lot of pastors who went off into deep sin and they're not qualified to be in the ministry today. That when they were in Bible college, they probably said something like this. I'll never do that. I'll never be involved with that. I'll never get involved with that. And I'll never quit the ministry that way. But yet, where are they today? They're not in the ministry because of a slow burn of sin. Like, well, you know, it's not a big deal. You know, it doesn't feel like a big deal, but it is a big deal. Why won't we let ourselves see it? It's just pride. Our pride won't let us see it. Lust has a way of being that way. And you think that you can think about things. You think that you can think lustful thoughts. And you can engage in lustful activity, and even at times when nobody knows about it. By the way, because there isn't anybody who can read your mind except God. Amen. And so there's lustful things that are going on in our heart, and perhaps are leading us to lustful activities, even at times when we think nobody knows about it. But what it has become in us is a slow-burning sin. And what it does is it leads us, it puts us on a path to ruin. And it will lead us there. Anger is that way. I think sometimes anger is justified. No, I don't think sometimes. I do it myself. Anger is a slow-burning sin. And we lose our cool and we feel justified. But our anger problem is a slow-burning sin that's going to lead to destruction and ruin. And not just in our lives and the people that affects. And by the way, lust is that way. Any sin, whether it's a what we would consider an outright, blatant, violent sin or a slow-burning sin, it doesn't just affect us. Sin never just affects us. This is the one that really worked in my heart. I'm just going to mention it, that there are things that... There are indulgences that lead us to neglect. Let me say that again. There are indulgences that lead us to neglect. Now, why would that be? Because indulgences aren't always sin, but they become sin. Okay? I didn't bring it out here, but my phone, our cell phones are an example of that. Well, I don't know that I could, with Scripture, say, all right, cell phones are sinful. Now, I have a cell phone. And most of us probably have cell phones. But you know what cell phones can do? They can become indulgences. And the things on our cell phone, although maybe aren't outright sinful, but can become indulgences. So that we're indulging in one thing and neglecting something else. Listen to this. so that we're indulging in one thing and we're neglecting something else. And what often happens is these sinful things called indulgences, cell phone, computer, TV, video games, things like this, that can become, maybe aren't sinful in themselves, but become indulgences so that we neglect things. And so what those indulgences are slow-burning sins. How? Because we're neglecting things. And when you neglect, and you neglect, and after a while, you've neglected so much that you've lost. You've lost relationships. You've lost the ability to minister. You've lost the ability to influence. Why? Because you've indulged so much in this that you neglected that. And it's a slow burn. It will lead to ruin. So what do we need? We need God to work in us as it relates to slow burning sins in our life. We need to acknowledge that there are times when sin does, like I'm going to read to you out of this proverb. Don't turn there. I'm just going to read it to you. Proverbs 29:1 says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." I'm going to finish with a story and we're done. There's a young man in high school. I played basketball with him. And my senior year, he was a freshman and he was a good player. He was a terrific three-point shooter. And he always, every game made at least two threes. And I mean, he was second leading scorer on the team. I mean, he brought the ball up a lot, very good ball handler. He and I were good friends. He was younger than me quite a bit. I was a senior and he was a freshman. But I mean, we just had that camaraderie. And ironically, his name's Trey. Like, it's a great name for a guy who makes a lot of threes, right? So we were just good friends. So I remember at the end of my basketball season's over, I'm getting ready to graduate. I'm surrendered to go to Bible college. I'm excited for God. And I'm excited for my friends and for the younger ones in the youth group, you know, and I wanted them to go on for God too. And Trey had gotten involved in a relationship with a young lady in our church. And she's older than him, and there was inappropriate things that began to happen, and a lot of this that I had no idea about until it came out that his girlfriend, when he's 16 years old, finishing up his freshman year of high school, and his girlfriend is now expecting a child. So that you can see that decision and the slow burn of sin and where it led him and what it did not only to him and to this young lady, so that we fast forward and see where their lives are today. And you know where it led them? It didn't lead them to glory to God, but to ruin. They're not married. I won't go on about that. But that's the result of the slow burn of sin. One example. But what I think God wants us to see tonight, He wants us to see that in our lives, it might be that there's a slow burning sin in our life. It might be. And so what do we need to do? We just need to ask God to help us to see it. Because if it's a slow burning sin, we justify it. That's what that pride does. Like, well, you know, Pastor, come on, get off my back. It's not a big deal. No, that's what we all do. Israel did that. But God sees it, and He wants us to see it. So tonight we need to ask Him, God, I think I know what You're speaking to me about. I'm not wanting to see it, but would You help me to see it with Your eyes? Would You help me to see it for what it is, a slow-burning sin, so that I can repent? That's the one thing they could have done. Remember, God said He wanted to heal them. That's how it started. And you know how it finished? Israel wouldn't repent. Verse 10, let's just read it. Oh man, I lost my place. I'm going to get back there real quick. My Bible turns right up to Hosea. So look at verse 10. The pride of Israel testifieth to his face. They do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek Him for all this. But you know what you can do? You can return to Him. Amen. You know what you can do? You can seek Him. So do that tonight. Say, God, I think I have a slow-burning sin in my life. Would You show me so that I can repent, so I can say, I don't want to do this. I want to acknowledge to see where it'll lead. And He'll help you. And that's what we need to do. God, help us tonight. Father, we thank You for the grace that You